Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Chicago Bears finally got a win in honor of Dick Butkus, so I guess at least they were able to do that for him. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to see it, but the Bears actually did put on a good show last night for once. It was most certainly their best game of the season. They kind of mimicked what they did last week, but did not completely fall apart in the second half. They almost did. It looked like they were about to, but they were able to hold it down. So the Chicago Bears walked into Washington, D.C. last night and beat the Commanders 40-20. And Chicago was in complete control from the first drive. They just looked really in sync. The Commanders' first half was absolutely atrocious. And then the second half, they started to get it going just a bit, but they just weren't able to get it going, and they just like a horrible team. And I'm not surprised by that. I did not expect the Commanders to be a good team, but I am shocked at how well the Bears played. Now, when it was announced about 10 minutes before the game, it was pretty close to game time. It might have actually been more like an hour before the game, but it was pretty close to game time. That we found out that the legendary linebacker Dick Butkus died. And I actually said, oh, wow, maybe the Bears will be able to muster up a nice win for him. And they certainly did. Like I said, they got the win 40-20. Justin Fields had a great game, 15 for 29, 282 yards and 4 touchdowns. But the big breakout game was from wide receiver DJ Moore, who had 230 yards and 3 touchdowns in the game. So just an overall solid game from the Bears. Like I said, it looked like they were about to collapse yet again in the second half, but they were able to just hold on and get through it. And that's how Thursday Night Football ended on Week 5. Now let's get to the rest of the Week 5, what we have coming up this weekend. First of all, let's catch up on where I am in my head-to-head matchups with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week, I went 15-1 with my picks. Yeah, I took some crazy picks, and it actually ended up working out for me. So that brings my season total up to 42-22. And Simon did not have a good week. He went 9-7, and so that puts him behind me. 39-25 on the season, so we're still pretty close, and we actually have quite a few differences in picks this week, so who knows, we could flip-flop, and he will take the lead yet again, but so far, I had a great week last week, and so let's see what happens in Week 5. We both started off the week bad, because we both had the Washington Commanders and Chicago 1, so we both start the week 0-1. All right, so we have us another London game this week. Jacksonville, yet again, is the London team this week. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Buffalo Bills will technically be the home team in this one. So it's Jacksonville at Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 6.5-point favorite, and that sounds about right to me. I feel like Buffalo's got right back on track offensively and defensively. They look really good. Josh Allen, he's just looking like he's in MVP form. And then you turn over to the Jaguars side of things. They really have not got going offensively as I at least expected them to do. Usually a Doug Peterson offense is high-flying and tends to score a lot of points. And so far, Jacksonville has not really lived up to that hype. Granted, their defense has looked really, really good. And guess what? They also have a Josh Allen, a linebacker Josh Allen, who's actually really damn good. As a matter of fact, last year when they played against each other, he had like a career game where I know he had some sacks. I believe he had a game-sealing interception. But regardless, we have two Josh Allens facing off against each other this weekend. So that's pretty funny. But I do think the Bills, they look really good, and I think they are a better team than the Jacksonville Jaguars overall. So I have the Buffalo Bills getting a close win, 28-21, and Simon also has the Buffalo Bills getting a close win as well, 31-28. Then moving on to the early games, we have the Houston Texans at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 1.5-point favorite. C.J. Stroud has just lived up to all the hype as the number one pick for the Houston Texans. He looks like he's absolutely the future of this franchise. He has yet to throw an interception on the season, and he's actually been extremely accurate, and it's just been a really, really good leader for this team, and it's something that the Texans absolutely need. Atlanta is just in too much disarray. They have no identity. They're not really a good team at all. And so I'm actually expecting Houston to roll over Atlanta in this one, 31-7. This is the first disagreement between Simon and I. He actually has a close matchup between the Falcons and Houston. He's got Atlanta winning 24-21, which honestly I would not be surprised because I'm not sold on the Texans. It's just they're playing really well. But Atlanta's actually good at home, so I wouldn't be shocked if Houston lays an egg in Atlanta. But I ended up going with Houston in this one. Then we have the Carolina Panthers at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 9.5-point favorite, and I really expect Detroit to roll in this one. Carolina, not good at all. They don't have one win on the season, and that's not shocking because offensively, they're very... pretty bad. They're pretty bad offensively. You know, you got a rookie quarterback. It doesn't usually bode well for you. Whereas Detroit looks really good right now. And they look like they believe in themselves. They're playing great defensively. They're playing great offensively. Jared Goff having yet another great season. So I just kind of feel like Detroit's going to roll in this one 30-17. And Simon also believes Detroit's going to roll over his Carolina Panthers 26-17. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 1.5-point favorite. I really like what I see from the Colts with Richardson. I feel like they do have some growing pains, and they still have a ways to go. But they play with a lot of heart, and they look like they're on the right track. Even though they have a bunch of drama with Jonathan Taylor wanting to be traded, that really hasn't affected them at all this season. The Titans, they are way too inconsistent for me. And since they kicked ass last week, I'm kind of expecting them to not lay an egg. I do expect this to be a good game because it is a division matchup. But I just feel like it's going to be, that's what the Titans do. They play really well one week, play like shit the next. So that's what it looks like to me. And I just see the Colts getting this win 26-19. And this is another disagreement between Simon and I. He actually has the Titans winning a close one 23-17. Then we have the New York Giants at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 9.5-point favorite. The Giants are just coming off of yet another horrible loss. This team has not even had, even though they won that game against Arizona, they were getting their asses kicked before the comeback they had to make. So it's just like the Giants, they just are a team that just continuously is getting their ass beat each and every week. Daniel Jones is just running for his life. He has like no time at all to get going. And Saquon Barkley's been injured the last couple of games. Who knows if he's going to play in this game? And even if he does, I don't think it's going to be a difference. Miami, they're coming off of a big loss, so I actually expect them to have a big game. They just traded for Chase Claypool today, so I'm not sure if he's going to play or not on Sunday. That might be too soon for him to play, but that's just another big weapon for them offensively, as if they needed it. And I just kind of expect Miami to get right back on track, score a whole bunch of points, and get the big win 42-10. And Simon is in agreement with me as well. He's got Miami winning big 34-17. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 1.5-point favorite. And that's really shocking to me just because the Patriots offensively are horrible. And the New Orleans Saints defense is really damn good. Offensively, there's still a ton of questions for the Saints. But this could be a good get-right game for them since New England is now missing Matthew Judon, their best defensive player, and then Gonzalez is out as well. So they're going to be missing a lot of guys on defense, and their offense wasn't too good to begin with. So I have the New Orleans Saints walking into New England and getting the win 20-10. Simon also has New Orleans getting the win 24-20. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Ravens are a 4.5-point favorite. As I've stated before, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have the absolute worst offense in the league. It's going to be a struggle for them to score in any game. And the Ravens are just a damn good team. They're not really blowing anybody up, but they're still getting the wins, and they're still playing really, really good football. I expect them to get this win 27-13. And Simon also has the Ravens getting this win 34-10. Moving on to the afternoon games, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite. So far, to me, the Eagles, good team. They're getting their wins. But offensively, it's been kind of a struggle for them. They haven't been as explosive as they were last year, even though they're winning. Now, the Rams, on the other hand, they're looking a lot more surprising, I think, to most people. And they are getting Cooper Kupp back this week. And I think that's going to be a big deal for them because they have the rookie Puka Nacua, who's just having a great season. So now they're going to have two really solid receivers plus a capable running back. I kind of feel like the Rams are on the right track to get some wins here. And I actually think the Rams are going to upset the Eagles this week 20-17. I feel like it's just going to be one of those close battles that's just won in the trenches this week. And yes, the Eagles are the better team in the trenches, but I just kind of feel like this is just going to be one of those close games where the Rams, even though home field advantage is not usually home field advantage for them, because usually the visiting team fans outweigh the Rams home team fans, which is probably going to be the case in this one since Philadelphia Eagles fans are actually good fans and show up for the games. So it's probably going to be technically Philadelphia home field advantage. But since the Rams are playing at home, I'm just kind of giving them that slight edge. Plus, I think it's going to be a big deal getting Cooper Kupp back this week. And I think the Rams are going to get the win 20-17. And this is a disagreement between Simon and I. He has the Eagles getting the win 27-13. Then we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. This team has looked atrocious offensively, and I feel like this is a good get-right game for them because Arizona is not good at all. I've got the Bengals winning this one 24-10. I just think they're finally going to get right, look pretty good in this one, and Arizona's just going to go back to being Arizona. Simon and I actually are disagreeing on this one. He's got Arizona getting the win 31-24. Then we have the New York Jets at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm kind of expecting this to be like the ugly game of the week. I don't really expect much from either of these teams. Yes, the Jets are coming off of a pretty decent game last week, but they still lost. The Denver Broncos are coming off of a big win last week. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those ugly games where it's just like a couple field goals here and there and overall weird game. But I'm going to go with Denver in this one just because they're at home. They're coming off of the big win, and I've got Denver winning 15-10. This is another disagreement between Simon and I. It looks like he feels this is going to be an ugly game as well because he has the Jets winning 16-9. Then we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Chiefs are a 5.5-point favorite. I'm expecting this game to be basically a shootout between two high-powered offenses. Minnesota's been very mediocre as usual, but that's to be expected with them. But Kansas City hasn't really blown anybody out either. They've played a lot of close matchups. Their only big blowout was against the shitty ass Bears. So they really haven't done anything extremely impressive yet this season. They're still a good team. Not saying they're not a good team at all. It's just they've been winning ugly for the most part. And in this one, I do expect them to still get the win, of course, because Minnesota just is Minnesota. And as you've seen, they've been terrible in the red zone. Kirk Cousins has thrown already multiple interceptions. He's just been a reason why they've lost. And I kind of expect that to be the case in this one, where I feel like it's going to be back and forth. And then, you know, the Vikings are going to fuck up on like the last drive of the game and throw an interception or something costly like that. So I have the Chiefs winning 30-24. And Simon has the Chiefs winning in a blowout, 41-13. Then we have the game of the weekend, Sunday Night Football. My Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are a 3.5-point favorite, and I have so been looking forward to this game just because I do think it's about time that the Cowboys change the tides. I've felt like this team is different all season long. I feel like it's about damn time. The Cowboys are just going to change the narrative, and this is the game you do it in. Eventually, at some point, Brock Purdy is going to have a shitty game, and I think this is it. I think the Cowboys defense is going to key in on him and cause a couple of turnovers and be a big reason why we get the win, but I'm also calling this a Dak game. I don't like to do that, but I'm calling this a Dak game. And the reason why I'm calling this a Dak game is because I think Dak is going to go off offensively. I think he's going to actually have a really good game. I think he's going to make big plays. And rather than in the big moments, usually, you know, he'll throw an interception, do something dumb. I think the Cowboys are coming ready to play in this one. And I think they're going to get the win. Now, I think it's going to be a battle. I think it's going to be a great game. And I've got my Cowboys going into San Francisco, getting the win 28-27. Another disagreement between Simon and I. He has the Niners winning 27-13. Let me just say, I would not be shocked if the Cowboys do what the Cowboys do, walk in and take a shit and lose this game terribly. But I feel like the Cowboys are different this season. They're playing different. They've got a completely different mindset. And this is a different team. We have a different offensive coordinator. And they just look really confident this year. And I just, like I said, Purdy's going to have a bad game eventually. That doesn't mean I think he's a bad quarterback. No, I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do. Congratulations to him. He has started off his career excellent. But at some point, he's going to have a shitty game. Because every player throughout the history of the goddamn league has a shitty game. And I think this week is going to finally be that game where Brock Purdy has a shitty game and potentially costs his team in the end. So I've got the Cowboys winning 28-27, but I would not be shocked to see if they get their asses beat. Then, of course, we have Monday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Packers are a 2.5-point favorite. They're coming off of a loss last week, a close loss to the Lions last week. I feel like they're going to get back on track this week. Vegas, we don't know who's going to be at quarterback because Jimmy Garoppolo still is in concussion protocol, so it's still iffy if he's going to play. And even if he does play, I don't really trust the Raiders. They have not shown that they're even a legit team at all. Whereas the Packers have actually shown that they can get it going offensively. They have some nice young receivers. They, of course, have Aaron Jones in the backfield. And their defense is really stout. So I have the Green Bay Packers winning a close one, 23-20. And Simon, we're disagreeing on this one as well. He has it a close one with the Raiders winning 19-17. And it's also of note, Week 5 is now the first week where we're going to have bye weeks. And this week, the Cleveland Browns are on a bye week. The Chargers are on a bye week. The Seattle Seahawks are on a bye week. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on a bye week. So we will not see anything from those four teams this week. Now let's move on to some baseball because all the division matchups are officially set. As a matter of fact, all the wild card matchups ended up being a straight sweep. Every single one of them just swept on by. So now everybody's nice and rested, and the division series begins Saturday. So we will have all four games, boom, Saturday. I mean, Saturday is just chock-loaded with sports. We got tons of college football, and we got baseball. So let's begin with the ALDS matchups. We have the Texas Rangers versus the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, these two teams, they're so damn good. You know, the Rangers, they've been one of the best teams all season. They've had to battle through a bunch of injuries, including their aces. But it's a possibility that Max Scherzer may be able to pitch in this one. And that, I feel like, would be huge. The Orioles, though, they have been so consistent. They have been the best team all season long. They have not fallen off at all. They really haven't had a slump. This is a young team with some really damn good players. You've got Adley Rutschman. This is his second year in the league. He's their catcher phenom, and he has had a great season. Then you have Gunnar Henderson. He's their shortstop, their rookie shortstop, who's just having a great season. But then you have their starting pitching, and it's deep. And their bullpen is one of the best in the league. So it's just overall, the Orioles are a well-oiled machine. Whereas the Rangers, they are just killing it offensively. You've got Adolis Garcia, who's just had an amazing season offensively. And then you've got Corey Sager, who's having a great season. He's been one of the best pickups for the Rangers. And this is his bread and butter. I mean, if you remember when he played with the Dodgers, as I remember, he was amazing during the postseason. So watch out for him and Garcia. I really expect this to be just a battle between two really good teams. But in my opinion, the Orioles, they're just more consistent than the Rangers. They're a deeper team. And the Orioles can keep up with the Rangers offensively. If the Orioles starting pitching starts to get away from them, the Orioles offensively are able to keep pace right with the Rangers. They have a stacked ass lineup as well. So I just think the Baltimore Orioles are just a bit more deep, a bit more consistent. And I trust their bullpen, and I trust that they have the better options to get the win. And so I have the Baltimore Orioles moving on and moving on in this series to the ALCS in five games. Then we have the Minnesota Twins versus the Houston Astros. Minnesota, they are finally moving on in the playoffs. They look like a pretty solid team. Carlos Correa, he's going up against his old team. Carlos Correa now plays with the Minnesota Twins. He's won a World Series with the Houston Astros. He was drafted by the Houston Astros, and he was a great player for the Houston Astros. So this is probably going to be a pretty emotional series for him because he's going to be going up against a lot of guys he's come up in the league with. You know, this team, this Houston Astros team, has basically been the same team, just adding good parts along the way for about 7-ish years now. And Correa was a huge part of that, but he has now moved on, and he's playing well for the Twins. Now, the Twins are pretty much led by their starting pitching. In my opinion, the Twins really are here because they're in a terrible division. Not trying to take away anything from them. They did play a great series in the last series. Like I said, their starting pitching is really, really good. But I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with what the Astros got. First of all, the Astros have been here before. They know how to win. Not only do they know how to win championships, but they know how to win in the postseason. This is where they get their wins. This is just everything. They've got a great manager. They've got a great starting pitching lineup. They've got a great batting order. Now, their bullpen, a little shaky. That's kind of been their issue this season, but I don't trust the Twins at all. I don't believe in the Twins at all. So I'm taking the Astros basically to humble the Twins, and I think the Astros are going to move on to the ALCS in four games. So I've got Houston versus Baltimore for my ALCS right now. Moving on to the NLDS, we have the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Los Angeles Dodgers, two division opponents who know each other very well and played so even against each other. I mean, every time they faced off against each other, it really was not an ass-kicking. Zach Gallen, he had his moments against them. Freddie Freeman had his moments against the Diamondbacks. It's just, they have all had their moments, and I really expect this to be a battle. But the Dodgers have been here before, and they are hot. They are coming into this postseason hot, hot, hot. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, I don't know how you're going to be able to stop these guys. The only way I feel like they're going to be stopped is if they get injured. That's about the only way those two guys are going to be able to be stopped. Then you have Kershaw, who's having a phenomenal season as well. And, you know, he is known for getting blown up in the postseason. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up laying an egg. But even so, I just think the Dodgers are the better team. While I would love to see the Diamondbacks get the win, now don't get me wrong, these are Giants division opponents, so I want both of them to lose. But I, of course, want the Dodgers to lose more than I want the Diamondbacks to lose. I mean, the Diamondbacks, I don't think they're going to win the World Series, and even if they do, whoop-de-fucking-do. But the Dodgers, I always want them to lose. So, of course, I'm rooting for the Diamondbacks in this one. But I just kind of feel like the Dodgers are going to be way too much for the Diamondbacks to overcome. And I have the Dodgers winning this one in four games and moving on to the NLCS. And then we have another division battle against the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Atlanta Braves. And both of these teams are hot. I mean, the Phillies look as good as they did last year at this time. And the Atlanta Braves are hands down the best team in the league. I feel like they should easily win the World Series. But hey, this is why they play the game. So it doesn't matter if they have the better everything. You got to play to win, and they got to prove it, and you know they want to. You know, you've got Acuña Jr. having an MVP season. you've got Spencer Strider having a phenomenal season, and I just feel like the Braves are going to be way too much for the Phillies. While I think the Phillies are going to make this a great battle, the Braves are just too damn strong, and I think they're just ready to win another World Series. And I had the Braves moving on in four games. I'm sure most people have this going five games, which I wouldn't be shocked. But I just think the Braves are that good that they should actually easily win this one. I say easily, like hesitantly, because obviously none of this is easy. It's the postseason. But the Braves, they're better than every team, like by a mile. So I think they should easily roll to the World Series, and I think they should easily roll to the NLCS. So yeah, my NLCS matchup is the Dodgers, boo, versus the Braves. So like I said, the division series battles begin tomorrow, Saturday, all day baseball yet again. So, yeah, we've got us a stacked ass weekend of sports. But like I started off the show with the sad news that Hall of Fame linebacker, Chicago Bears linebacker Dick Butkus, the legend, died yesterday at the age of 80. He lived so obviously he lived a long life. He was always a huge Bears fan till the end. As a matter of fact, he was actually one of my favorite Twitter follows because he would always say the most random shit, especially on game day. So he was one of those diehard Bears fans till the bitter end. So it's unfortunate that his last game that he had to see of the Bears was last week's debacle. But luckily for the Bears, they were able to muster up a good win for him last night. But with that being said, I just wanted to throw off a few career highlights of Dick Butkus because he is one of the greatest players to ever play football, ever. If you've never watched any of his highlights, and I know a lot of people haven't because he played from 1965 to 1973, his entire career with the Bears. But if you know anything about football, this is the dude. He is revered as one of the most scary linebackers of all time. And if you just watch highlights of him, you will see why. It's funny to listen to old guys who played against him because, like, you'll hear stories about guys running off the field with, like, their eyes just, like, popping out of their head because they were so terrified of what he did to them or what he would say to them. He would just get right under your skin. He would not last in today's league. That's for damn sure. He would be immediately thrown out of the game. And he even said that actually at the beginning of the season, I think it was week one, he said, I wouldn't last in today's NFL. I'd be immediately ejected game one because I was too much for these guys these days. But he certainly was. But watch, you want to see some good ass highlights, watch you some Dick Butkus highlights, and you'll see why he was the greatest ever. And or one of the greatest ever. And he is the linebacker position. If you just look at what you want in a linebacker, you want Dick Butkus. Also, I will say, the number one thing I love about Dick Butkus is his name. How great is that name? Dick Butkus. Greatest fucking name ever, hands down, outside of being one of the greatest linebackers of all time. So here are a few of his career highlights. He is a two-time Defensive Player of the Year, five-time first team All NFL, three-time second team All NFL. He's a 1960s and 1970s All-Decade team. He was a part of the 75th and 100th anniversary teams. His career stats are 22 interceptions, 11 sacks, one safety, 27 fumble recoveries, and one defensive TD. The 22 interceptions at the time was unprecedented. Now, I know in today's NFL, it doesn't sound like, ooh, wow, 22 interceptions. It was a big deal in the early 60s and 70s to be a defensive player and to score touchdowns and to create turnovers the way he did, because it didn't really happen often. And he has 22 career interceptions, and so that just says a lot about what a great linebacker he was. And he was just so revered at the time. And like I said, when you listen to the way people talk about him, I mean, there's even guys who have said guys have literally come running off the field in tears because he obliterated their asses so bad on the field. Like, it's really fun to watch Dick Butkus highlights. So do yourself a favor if you've never done that and go watch some highlights of Dick Butkus. But if you know about him, you know, this guy was a beast. He was just an amazing linebacker. And like I said, he is the epitome of what you want in a defensive player, in a linebacker. When you think linebacker, you think Dick fucking Butkus. So I'm going to leave you with this. A great quote about Dick Butkus from another amazing defender, the great Deacon Jones. Another amazing name, Deacon. That's just, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm Deacon Jones, bitch. That's just what that sounds like to me. But this is a quote from Deacon Jones about Dick Butkus. He said, when you, he made a little poem about Dick Butkus, and it goes like this. Roses are red, violets are blue. If you got any sense, you'll keep Butkus away from you. So RIP Dick Butkus, thank you for all the great memories. Thank you for the road you paved for football, because you are a huge reason why football is the way it is today. Even though you would not have made it in today's NFL, we would not have great players like Lawrence Taylor or Ray Lewis or Charles Haley, or there's just so many defenders along the way. Hell, even Aaron Donalds in today's day and age, or Micah Parsons in today's day and age. Everybody knows that the league would not be the same without the great Dick Butkus. So RIP to you, legend, and enjoy this stacked-ass weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.